The following audio is from Foundation Life Bible Church. More information about Foundation Life is available at www.foundationlbc.com.
Good morning, everybody. Didn't they do a great job? All right. Today our scripture reading is from our passage. It's Mark 5, 1 through 20, if you could turn there. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs, let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs. And the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank and into the sea and drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country. And people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you, and he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled.
Happy Father's Day. Thanks. All right, open us in prayer and we'll get started. Father, we believe that you are the Alpha and the Omega. We believe that you hold all things together, Lord. And we count ourselves privileged, Lord, to gather in your name. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be dads, Lord, to pour into our families, God. And what a great responsibility that is, God. And so we pray for grace in that, God. Father, I ask you today that as we hear your word, that we'd receive it, that it'd fall on good soil, Lord. And that, God, that we would expect your word today to cut us, because it does. It's the sword of the Spirit, God. And so we thank you for that, Lord. We pray, God, that your Spirit would fall on us and that you would teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so as Rick just read the passage to us, just a quick summary of where we are going, okay? And first, in this passage, as Rick just read, we're going to observe the kingdom of darkness attempt to destroy one man's life. That's first. And then we'll have the privilege to watch Jesus set this man free. Then you'll watch the town people react to Jesus. And you may be surprised how they react to Jesus. And finally, Jesus sets this man free to set him out on mission. He calls him to go on mission. So if you're taking notes, there's two points of emphasis that we're going to keep in our mind throughout this study. And the first one is, and I love this, and I hope this encourages you because it encourages me. Jesus will come for just one. Jesus will come for just one. And then our second point, Jesus sets us free so we can live on mission. Jesus sets us free so we can live on mission. So let's read verses 1 through 4 again of chapter 5 as we begin looking at this together. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. So as we looked at last week's passage, the last part of chapter 4, keep in mind the disciples at the end of that chapter had a reverence and an awe for Jesus. And they feared the Lord and forgot about the storm. And we see that in their question. They ask this: who then is that even the wind and the sea obey him? And this reveals their state of mind. And remember what we concluded, that having the right view of God, when you and I see God as he truly is, it helps us overcome fear. So chapter 5 picks up with the disciples and Jesus landing in Gentile country. And I can't help but think that after the disciples went through the storm, after they've just seen a side of Jesus that they hadn't seen before, that they were looking for a place to recharge their batteries. They were looking for rest. They were weary. But as we saw in the text, unfortunately, landing in the Gerasenes was anything but rest. So they all arrive, Jesus and his disciples, and they come across the man possessed by demons. And Jesus spoke these words about the kingdom of darkness in John chapter 10. He says this about Satan, and here's what he said: the thief comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. And sadly, in this scripture, we see the fruition of what this looks like. This man lived among the dead in the graveyard. And it's certainly appropriate when we think about that, because Scripture says that if we're not in Christ Jesus, if we're lost, that we're separated from the life of God. So he lived a life of torment. He lived a life in loneliness. He had no relationships like you and I with friends and family. And even the townspeople, the average person, was terrified of this man. They considered him dangerous. They didn't even want to be in his presence. And as we read, men attempted to shackle him. They attempted to chain him, but to no avail. No one could do anything about this man. What misery this must have been. No meaning, no purpose, except one: to destroy himself. And how do we know this? Because he regularly participated in the practice of cutting himself, it says, with stones. So how horrible. This man is completely controlled, completely under the control of demonic forces, of darkness. Crying out, the scripture says, day and night in agony, finding no rest and pacing aimlessly. Not only that, the scripture tells us that he's naked. He has no clothes on and can find absolutely no peace. And this may seem troubling, but scripture lays out this important point to us. That the majority of the world that we live in, and if you want to go back and look at this, you can read Ephesians chapter 2. We studied this in depth, verses 1 through 4. Ephesians chapter 4 also addresses this. And Ephesians chapter 6 also addresses this. But what it says is that this world is controlled by Satan, controlled by the kingdom of darkness. And that may seem extreme. But the Lord also speaks about it in 1 John 5:19. Look what he says about this truth. We know that we, who's we? Believers, are from God. And the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Sobering scriptures makes us think what we see when we turn on the news. What we see when we go to sleep at night. We look at our own hearts. It's the normal practice of the demonic to use deceit, to entice, to seduce people. And rarely do we see darkness manifest itself like we do in our passage today. And it's not that it's not possible. It is prevalent in other parts of the world. You can talk to brothers and sisters who have been on mission trips where they practice occult, where they practice witchcraft, and they see these kind of things. But in my opinion, part of the reason that we don't see it here is because first, and I've said this before, we often create an American Jesus, right? Not the Jesus of the Bible. And second, because darkness doesn't have to do that with us. They use other things as they plot and scheme against us. Consumerism, huge in this realm, and other things along those lines. But Scripture teaches us that the majority of the time, the darkness appears, the devil appears as an angel of light. An angel of light. Gradually, slowly, chipping away peace by piece by piece, looking to destroy a person. And if I can borrow the lyrics from Casting Crowns, it's a slow fade. It's a slow process. And darkness works hard to convince the world there's nothing beyond this life. You're not accountable for how you live. There's no accountability for your sin. In other words, it's what Scripture says. Let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Right? But as Jesus states, Satan is the father of lies. He speaks, and lying is his native language. But the Lord gives us the reality for every man and woman on this earth, whether they want to admit it or not. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says this about what God has put on men's hearts. He, God, has set eternity in the heart of a man. That's everybody. As we look at chapter 5, 6 through 13, let's move on and see how this plays out. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, by God, do not torment me." Verse 8. For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. And they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs. Let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned. Praise God what this passage reveals. Praise God, this is true of every person on the face of the earth. There's hope for this man, and there's hope for this world. There's hope for all who are lost and under the control of darkness. Jesus, the deliverer, the Savior, has come. Listen to 1 John 3:8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Just as we read in Mark chapter 1, verse 25, when we see the man that's possessed and the Lord calls the demon out of him, Jesus sets this man free and commands the demon, come out of him. We know this because Jesus also demands what? He demands the demon's name. And his response is, "My name is Legion, for we are many." How comforting is it to know, take this in for a moment, to know that when it comes to demons, they know their place before Christ. They know their place. They also know what awaits them in the coming judgment. Notice, even though they have power over this man, when they enter Jesus' presence and there he is, what do? They fall to their knees. They fall to their knees. The submission is evident in how they address him. What do they call him? Listen. Son of the Most High God. James tells us, yes, you believe and do well, but the demons believe and shudder. We see evidence of that. They also beg Jesus. This reminds us of Job. They beg Jesus not to send them to the abyss before the appointed time. And when is the appointed time? At the second coming of Christ. Verse 12 says, "Send us to the pigs." Don't send us to the pit, Jesus. "Send us to the pigs. Let us enter them." We learn in Matthew 8, listen to how Jesus does it. He allows them to enter the pigs by saying one word, "Go." That's all he says. Read it in Matthew 8. He says, "Go." And every one of the demons submit and obey. Look at the power and omnipotence of our God. And here's what we know. The demons, Satan's minions, them entering the pigs is proof positive that Jesus has freed this man. He's free. Now, blue letter, and if you're here with us for the first time, when we say blue letter, here's what we think. How do we apply this scripture? What does this look like? So everyone listen very carefully. It's important for us to understand. We should not spend our time thinking about demons, what they are doing or what they are not doing. Instead, all of our attention should be on the Jesus that rescued us, that saved us, that is sustaining us every day. Remember, you are saved if you're in Christ. You are being saved, which means you're being made like the Lord every day of your life. But we will not have victory over sin if our attention is directed toward darkness. Don't give darkness the time of day. You are focused on the author and perfecter of your faith. That's what we got to do. Look at verse 13. It tells us the fate of the pigs. And watch this. The demons ultimately wanted to do to the man what they did to the pigs. But Jesus said, "Not today." Not today, right? Which is what? Kill him. It says they drowned. And how many pigs? 2,000. Now think about that. If 2,000 pigs drowned, how many demons must have had control of this man? Think about that for a moment. At the very least, right? 2,000. 1 Peter 5:8, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And he looks to do this in some capacity of every individual's life. Remember our study through the Epistle of Ephesians. He watches. He plots. He schemes. He studies. Because here's his goal for me as a believer. How can I get Sam's focus off Jesus? How can I keep him from hiding in the Word? How can I keep him from acknowledging his Lord and bringing glory to his Lord? What's the best plan of attack? And he'll use anything. He's looking to rob us who believe in Christ from joy. And why? He wants us not to depend upon Jesus. He wants to keep you from abiding in the vine. Because I'm a sheep and you're a sheep. And sheep do stupid things without their shepherd. Amen? They do. I don't know if you believe that or not, but they do. Okay? So verse 14. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country. And people came to see what had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. So the men whose job was to watch these pigs, I wonder what that was like to go to the man that owned those pigs and tell that story. But they go all over the region and they give an eyewitness account. They tell what happened. It must have stirred quite a commotion. You picture a small town, right? Gossip starts. What happens? Just spreads like wildfire, right? Wonder if the conversation went something like this. In the local tavern, right? You guys are familiar with the crazy guy out in the graveyard, right? You know the crazy, scary guy that nobody wants to come near? You know who he is? Well, believe it or not, he's been set free. And he's wearing clothes. I haven't seen him wear clothes in years. And he's no longer out of his mind. And evidently, they're giving credit to this Jesus of Nazareth. They're saying he's responsible. So it spreads all over the town. One person telling the next, sharing it. And we've watched how the crowds grow as word about Jesus spreads. And the natural response is what? What do you do when there's an accident and you're driving? You turn and you look, don't you? That's why traffic stops every time, isn't it? Like there's just something going on the side of the road. Everybody turns and looks. Everybody turns and looks. Everybody turns and looks. Because we want to see, right? Why do you go to the Indy 500? You're hoping there's a crash, right? It's true. Okay? You want to see. We want to see. We want to see these things. Okay? So think along those lines. They're sharing this all around. And when I read this passage, I was thinking, well, then it must be true that people flocked to Jesus. It must be true they wanted to hear what he had to say. Surely they went and they said, Lord, can you do for me what you did for this man? But that's not the case, because look at verse 17. they begin to beg, not just ask, beg Jesus to leave their region. These people chose pigs over Jesus. They chose swine over the Savior. Similar to how Pilate, when he had Jesus right in front of him, and he asked the best question he could have possibly asked right before Jesus was sentenced to die. He asked the question, he said, "What is truth?" But he didn't stick around to find out the answer. Truth was right in front of him. And he chose his position over hearing the truth. The people were more frightened by the power of Jesus than they were of being under the bondage of darkness. And even though they were unaware, they were desperate. Just as desperate as the man possessed. They needed a Savior just as much as him. But here's what happened. His holiness and his righteousness was too much for them. It was too much for them to handle. John 3:19 explains it this way. And this is judgment. The light has come into the world. Who's the light? Jesus. And people love darkness rather than the light, Jesus. Why? Because their works were evil. When I want to justify and rationalize my sin, who do I go to? Those that'll do it with me. I'm going to avoid that brother or sister that's going to tell me the truth. Because I want them to be on my side, right? They loved darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. And here's probably the truth about this region. Although these people were unaware, and remember, Satan appears as an angel of light, he normally does not manifest himself in this way. Although the people were unaware, the fact that they rejected Jesus is probable evidence that darkness had a hold on the whole region. They begged Jesus to leave. They begged him, please leave. So their depravity trumped all. And what did Jesus do? He didn't force himself on them. He didn't say, too bad, I'm staying. He granted their request, and he left. He left. So here's what I want you to think about. Blue letter. Be encouraged today that Jesus will come for just one. He will come for just one. If there's one heart that's ready to receive the truth, he will come. If there's one whose heart is soft, he will come. How good is God that he would come here for one man, one, and then leave? So think along these lines. I want to encourage you in this. Maybe you have one coworker God has you at your work for. Maybe there's one student in your classes God has you there for. Maybe there's one patient that God has you there for. Maybe there's one family member at the family gathering that God has you there for. Jesus will come for just one. And the Lord would say to us, will you acknowledge me? Will you draw near to me? Will you be a part of what I'm doing? Because I want you to know, there's someone here that you can pray for. There's someone here that's ready to receive the truth. There's someone here that you can encourage. Jaden, it's pretty neat to think about. But as you go on this mission trip, the Lord may have you go on those mountains for one child to reach, one child to give a hope of the account that you need to say, let me tell you about who Jesus is. Let me tell you about how he set me free and how he loved me and how he's given me meaning and purpose. And I'm here because he sent me. See, it's worth it if there's just one. It's always worth it. Jesus points that out. Now look at chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. As he was getting into the boat, I love this, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you, how he's had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled. So when you taste and see that the Lord is good, when the Lord changes us from the inside out, what did this man want more than anything else? He didn't go looking for his family. I'm sure at some point he did. He didn't go looking for his friends. Who did he want to be with? He wanted to be with Jesus. He wanted to be with the one that set him free. He wanted to be with the one that had the power for him to overcome. He wanted to be with Jesus. He had such comfort sitting at his feet. Remember the story of Martha and Mary? Martha's in a rut, right? Because Jesus is there, Lazarus is there, they're having a party, and Martha is serving everyone. What's Mary doing? Well, first, she's driving Martha nuts, isn't she? Because she isn't working, right? But secondly, what's she doing? She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. And why is she sitting at the feet of Jesus? Because she can't take in enough of him. She can't get enough of his word. She can't get enough of his presence. And this is where this man is at. He's sitting next to Jesus. And he's full of hope. He's filled with peace. And he has joy in his heart. Not because of his circumstances, although they certainly changed, but because he's getting to know the one that set him free. He's getting to know the one that loved him enough to come for just him. It's incredible. He's entered a rest he's never experienced before. A man who the world avoided, a man who this town avoided. And Jesus went to him. And he wants to live with the one that gave him life. He wants to sit at the feet of Jesus. A couple things to consider when you make those touches. I pray you're not forgetting what we studied in Mark chapter 4 and the parable of the soils and the seeds. And the kingdom of God being like a mustard seed. It grows. It's slow and steady growth that we get to be a part of. But a couple things to consider. This man did not clean himself up before he came to Christ. He did not. And as you make touches for the kingdom, be careful that you don't deliver the message that others have to clean themselves up before they come to Christ. That's not the gospel. The Lord changes a man. That man will never change himself. The gospel falls in a heart, and grace empowers. What does that mean, the grace empowers? Grace is everything that has been given. It's every gift in Christ. Go back and read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3. We'll see what grace is. Everything given. And then as grace empowers, then the life is changed. We cannot expect the world to be different. But what we are called to do is make touches, share the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for those who believe. We're not changing ourselves. The Lord is changing us, and He's still working on us, and we're growing day by day. But we cannot preach a gospel that says you have to change yourself to come to Jesus. It's not true. We come to the Lord. We behold His glory. We seek His face, and we are changed. Second, those who have been changed by the gospel have their desires changed. One clear-cut sign of this is a person being born again is seeing them desire more and more and more of Jesus. They look forward to making Jesus their hiding place, being in the Word, spending time in prayer. So back to our text. What happened here? Jesus has given this man a testimony. Amen? And now he is called to share it with others in the region. He wants him to make personal touches. It's not enough that this man's story would be told in the 10 surrounding cities, which it will be. We'll see evidence of that in a moment. No, he caused this man to be present with those in the town. Be present and engage them and tell your story. Give an eyewitness account of my mercy and my grace in your life. Tell everyone you get the opportunity to tell. And why? So the power of God would be on display, regardless if people choose to believe. And regardless of whether they believed or not, there was no doubting this man had been changed by Christ. He'd been changed. And he was going to tell that story. So here's blue letter for us. If you are here and you are in Christ Jesus, let me remind you that the Lord has set you free. The Lord has saved you and put you where you are in the circles you are in to live on mission. We are never saved just to sit on the sidelines. The Lord would say to all of us, this is far more than what goes on through these doors on Sunday morning. And praise God, we get to gather together and pray together and study the Word together and sing to the Lord. But He'd say, there's far more. Don't get comfortable. The Lord has invited all of us to make touches for His kingdom. I hope you still have your little mustard seed. It reminds you that as you make touches, the kingdom grows. The Spirit of God is at work. Make touches by sharing the gospel message, by praying for others in the name of Christ, by sharing our victories and struggles in the name of Christ, by confessing our sin and proclaiming Christ, by serving in the name of Christ, by speaking the truth in the name of Christ, having this mindset. Lord, what are you doing here? And how can I be a part of what you're doing? You don't have to turn there, but if you'd like, you can. But I want to close with this. We get a testimony of this man's life. Mark chapter 7, 31 to 37. This is so cool. So Jesus returns to this same region. And this time, instead of begging Jesus to leave their area. They beg him to lay his hands on a deaf and mute man. This man wanted nothing more than to go with Jesus. And Jesus said, "No, sir. You're on mission here, my child." Pretty cool to think that this man, who was once possessed by demons, because he obeyed Christ, he told his story throughout the 10 surrounding cities. He told his story throughout Decapolis. And now, instead of begging Jesus to leave, they begged him to heal. This is everything that Jesus taught us when we think about Mark chapter 4, when he sat down with his disciples from verses 1 to 32. He said, the word of God falls on good soil. It falls on a good heart. And then what happened? As he hides who Jesus is in his heart, what happens? As he obeys it, as he applies it, what happens? He's changed. He's changed. He passes from one phase of glory to the next. And then what happens? As he's changed, he shares what God has done with him. He makes touches. And Jesus, how cool is this that he gives his disciples an example of what he just taught in Mark chapter 4. This man received Jesus, he was changed by Jesus, and he shared his testimony. See, that's what we're called to do. That's what we're called today to do. And this is all on display to the disciples and to us and this man in one of the most extreme cases. But Christ sets us free. And he sets us free to be on mission. And not only does he set us free to be on mission, but he sets us free sometimes to say, just go for the one. Go for the one. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, if we're honest, we're not used to looking at a demon-possessed man, Lord. We don't see that too much in Scripture. But we thank you, Lord, for what your word reveals. It reveals to us, God, that you've set us free, that you've saved us, that you've called us, God, to be on mission. And we thank you for that. And Lord, here's what I pray for each here. I pray, God, and I ask you, Lord, that they would find joy in the fact that sometimes it's just one. And then that one pours into another one. And we see your kingdom grow. We see that steady growth. Thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to make those touches, Lord. We love you and we praise for that, Lord. Thank you for our time together. I pray that your word has fallen on good soil, Lord. And I pray we receive it with joy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to audio from Foundation Life Bible Church, located in Greenwood, Indiana. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information about Foundation Life Bible Church, please visit us online at www.foundationlbc.com.